Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Wednesday night chat. Only, of course, tonight it's Thursday night, the 7th of March, year 2024. And we certainly hope that everybody is able to tune in. We did have to reschedule again for Thursday night. We do apologize for that, but every now and then life throws us a curveball. So there are lots and lots and lots of things going on. We did hear that some folks should be calling in with us to share some of the things going on in their world later on. From where I'm sitting, the chaos continues, of course. The wicked seem to be getting more wicked, the righteous more righteous, similar to what Father told us a long time ago would happen at the end of the age. We are seeing the great upheaval within the society, the great shakening, so to speak, the heavens and the earth. In the Greek language, of course, that is talking about geopolitical upheaval, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So we shouldn't be too surprised. It is disheartening to see so many people willing to accept the insanity that we see going on around us today. But here again, it's what's happening. So again, we shouldn't be too surprised, but we need to focus on the positive. We need to focus on each other. Personally, at this point in time anyway, it appears to me to be that the ark for his people, as it was in the days of Noah, this current situation, the ark is made of people. Each of us is like a plank in the ark. Then when we work together, when we share information, when we pray for each other, etc., that is how that works. And so salvation, again, comes from the Greek words that are talking about a salvation from physical dangers and harm on this earth. It's not a spiritual thing. And how does that work? Well, the Father tells us with truth, we are saved from putting poisons in our body. Listening to people such as Fauci, who's a complete criminal, in spite of what the news media tells you, in spite of what any government agency tells you, if you're listening to the Father and the Holy Spirit, then you are saved because you know that these people are liars and deceivers. So that's how that works. So a lot of people are in trouble because they worship the beast, which is man-made government, man-made institutions. The Father told us not to do that. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. We want to come together in fellowship to share and to lift each other up with wise counsel. Remember, in the counsel of many, there is victory. And so that's our objective here, to bring together the family of Yahweh, who will counsel with each other and seek answers to what's going on and seek solutions in this day and age, because so many things are upside down right now. So along that end, again, part of the reason for the shift of the day was I had some issues with my home. There was a water line break, and that needed to be attended to, so that became sort of an emergency. And so that has been fixed, praise Yahweh. So lots of things going on, and again, remember that this weekend the clocks go ahead, daylight savings time, for the areas where they still do it. And we should have Keith coming on with us this Sunday morning to bring us some news and reports that he's been working on, and we'll probably cover some other issues as well. So I'll go ahead and open up the lines here, and we can talk about anything that's on your mind tonight. Okay, I yield. Does anybody have anything?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. What's her name? Is Deborah there?
No.
Oh, I just asked her if I should add her to the call. Well, she's from Tucumcari. And, well, not Tucumcari, Logan, New Mexico. And anyway, long story, but she's friends with Gary Houston, who calls in occasionally, I think. So anyway,
so she's a victim of censorship.
Yeah. Well, I got thrown off of the main page of Facebook, but I'm still on Messenger. So they didn't get, because they want my new phone number. And I'm not going to put it in there, but they're letting Messenger go. So, and I've got a website on Messenger. It's called New Mexico and Colorado Geoengineering, and I've been posting all kinds of stuff. A lot of people in the group, not just in New Mexico, or like my friend Loretta lives in Wyoming. They're spraying everywhere, and it's gotten a lot worse. So there's that channel. I think you know the channel Stop World Control, and there's a whole thing. Yeah, you sent me, you know, that channel, and then I got it from someone else today from my friend Sheena, and I said, oh, they have a thing on geoengineering. I'll put it on my page, you know. It's got all this stuff. So, yeah, that's, to me, that's the main thing. Now, we're looking forward. We got we're going to be having a farmers market here in Springer, believe it or not. And so they gave me the paperwork to fill out. You know, I don't think I'm going to be a grower because I don't, you know, but I'll participate and help out. The only thing I've been able to grow is squash. You know, yellow squash and acorn squash. So I'm not sure. And then a couple, I had tomatoes, but, you know, and then sunflowers. But we haven't had bees at all since I've been here. No bees. So they've been doing us, a lot of wasps, but no bees.
Like honeybees.
Yeah, no honeybees. Now, Laura's got, you know, honeybees because she does beekeeping over there in Colorado. Yeah. How about you? Are you have bees where you are in Florida?
Yeah, I just saw one or two of them up in my moringa tree just yesterday. They were getting nectar out of the flowers that are starting to pop out on the tree. So... there are honeybees in the area here. The weather here is unusually hot. Today it was very, very warm, which is very unusual for Florida this time of year. So it's crazy. It's just crazy. Like I had to put on long sleeves and trousers and all that because of climbing underneath a trailer and sliding along concrete and doing different things to help out with this repair. And that was quite warm because in Florida, it's usually this is our winter. And so it's a much, much cooler temperature. Right now, it's very warm. So somebody's doing something to something. I yield.
Yep. I think it's getting worse, but. We've had
Texas is very wet. We've had rain here and storms. It's thunderstorming now.
Since last night, right?
Yeah, well, last week, one day it was 40. The next day it was 91. The next day it was 38. The next day it was 85. So we don't know what it's going to do out there, whether we ought to wear shorts or put on our heavy coats. I don't. My air conditioning is either on or off, or my heat on or off. I don't know which end is up with the weather down here, or over here, or wherever. Texas, it's in northern Texas.
Is there any flooding going on?
My front yard's flooded. I mean, not flooded, but it's got puddles in it, and that's very unusual for me, because I live on top of a hill.
Are there gophers?
Any little animals that dig into the ground?
Yeah.
I've never seen a gopher, but when I mow my lawn, I see a lot of holes. So I'm assuming there are gophers somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, we have a
but it's very quiet. Yesterday, as soon as it started raining a little bit, the next door neighbors came out with their lawnmowers. Everyone around here is pulling out their lawnmowers, and it's, you know, the first week in March. This is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird.
It's probably a combination of things, you know. It's the end times. It's the end times, and it's the, you know, geoengineering.
Well, they have.
Does anyone know what's going on? Go ahead, Dan.
What?
Okay, they have to convince the sheep that that climate change is for real, and that temperatures are rising, and we need government to save us, and so we will accept more rules, more draconian measures, more taxes, and all the rest of them. So somehow, whatever they're doing, that's what part of this is. They know people are starting to doubt them, and they're starting to figure out that they're liars and deceivers, and so they're losing control of the narrative, and so this is their way of saying, look, see, we didn't lie to you. I yield.
Right.
Does anybody know for sure what's going on in New York? I read in New York that there's that the New York mayor sent the military to guard the subways and tunnels in New York. But then when my son-in-law brought my groceries over yesterday, he says, there's nothing going on in New York. So I don't know which is true.
Could be.
Anybody know
hype.
Anything about it?
I don't know. There's been a lot going on in New York about the farmers, and are they delivering or are they not, or what's going on? It's always seems like it's everything's focusing on New York all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the truckers are on strike or something, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening anywhere else but New York. So I don't know whether to believe it, because once they start pushing something, then my question mark, my red flag goes up. If they're pushing something, they want us to pay attention. Therefore, we should be paying attention to somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here, supposedly, there was a big fire near Amarillo, Texas, and then they were talking about it was going to be turned into a 15-minute city. And Laura and I went there, and I said, they can't turn that into a 15-minute city. There's no sky rises there. They're, you know, no more than three stories high, you know, and nothing like Denver or Aurora, you know, where they have real big tall buildings where, you know, people are going to be like stack and pack housing, right? So, but anyway, then Dan put it up that there was a snowstorm that put the fire out, but then they're still talking about that it's breaking out in the spots again.
You see, if there's fires, wildfires, like the way they describe it, you can get a little tinge of smoke in the air around here. I don't smell anything.
Are you near
Everything
Amarillo?
Quite a bit away from Amarillo, but, you know, the wind blows. If you have wildfires, like they're explaining, acres and acres of wildfires, the wind blows the smoke all over the place, and you can kind of smell the edges of it. But I can't smell anything. I don't see anything going on. Nothing. It's very quiet, calm around here. This is northern Texas. I'm 25 miles away from Fort Worth.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's we've just have been having a lot of spraying, a lot, until today. You know, when the wind picks up, they don't spray. But when it's calm, then we get hit with a lot, you know.
The Healthy American, Peggy Hall, has had a lot of videos on the chemtrails out there in California. She says it's getting really disgusting. They're trying to blow up the sun. And if they do that, that's going to affect all of our health.
Yeah, Dane Wingington was on her channel recently, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, I know. Yeah, there's
Lee Harvey Oswald when you need him?
there's a guy that, you know, then they're talking about the eclipse over Nineveh, the six Ninevehs. And this guy, JWTV, has been covering it. A whole bunch of religious people are covering it, except for the pastor that I listen to every morning. But, you know, he's like, I'm sending him stuff about it. But anyway, this guy, JWTV, said when the shit hits the fan, the only places that are going to be okay to be in are in the mountains. And I find that very difficult to believe with all the spraying and all the fires we've had here. It's ridiculous.
You know, I don't believe it either.
He said the Rocky Mountains, I said, well, you know, Colorado Springs and the Denver Airport have underground bases for the global elite.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I know. I've known about that for years.
Mm-hmm. I know. So Cheryl Brown used to work at the Air Force there.
And I had heard that back then that they were changing Washington, D.C., the center of the government, to Denver.
Yeah, because eventually they know that the lower you are, you know, the more flooding's going to come in from the coast. So, you know, with all the geoengineering, I mean, everything is being manufactured now. Nothing seems real. Even food tastes terrible.
You're finding that too, because my son-in-law brought me some vegetables a few weeks ago. They made me sick.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And they tasted weird. The cucumbers tasted like rubber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how the broccoli's been coming out of the store, you know.
And the celery is chewy.
What's that?
The celery is chewy.
I made,
you know, celery, when you crunch into it, it should be crisp and crunchy, but it's chewy, like chewing a gummy.
Ooh. they're wrapping it. They're wrapping it with stuff, you know. I mean, I don't know. I get avocados and sweet potatoes. That's pretty much, and broccoli, and I make either chicken or beef. I alternate, you know, and I only eat like 3 ounces. But today I ate at the senior center for lunch, and it was awful because
my mom bought me a loaf of that Baird's bread. That's the brand they have most in Texas here, Baird's bread. And it was always very fresh and everything. I had a loaf of that on my table for 2 months, and it didn't even mold.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of preservatives.
There's something wrong with that.
I know.
I've been making my own bread now. I have my mixer with bread hooks on it. It takes 4 minutes to mix it up, and then you just raise it and bake it. It's simple to make your own bread.
Oh, okay.
And I know what's in it.
Uh-huh. I usually eat Ezekiel bread. I get it at the grocery store. You know,
is
sprouted
it expensive?
Bread. Yeah, it is, but it's worth it. And they have one that's cinnamon raisin that's really good. But
now, bread is so easy to make. Like a 5-pound bag of flour costs you about $5, and it'll make about 10 loaves of bread.
Are you talking organic flour?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Organic or just regular flour. Whatever, even the regular flour, even if it's not organic, it's better than the Baird's bread, whatever they put in it. Because my bread, when I make it, if I don't eat it within 3 or 4 days, it starts getting little mold on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Cheyenne, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I just kicked my cat off the bed. Come here. All right, come on.
Hey, Melissa.
Come on. Get up here.
Yep. You there, Melissa?
Yeah.
Last time we were on one of these gatherings together, I was telling Dan, telling all of you how I think that your relationship with Garth is the way the biblical should be. Why don't you tell Dan about it?
Well, first I have to make a complaint about Garth. He took my shovel from me. And I lost it. He said
I never do.
He said
you never take a woman's shovel from her.
What did he say, Melissa?
That I was doing too much.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to, because we have a creek that goes in front of our house that flows, and it smells, and I was trying to get the silt out, and it is heavy, and I got kind of, I was really tired, and my back hurt, and I'm normally not tired, and I was tired for days, so he said I can't go out there and shovel no more. Okay. Garth and I, we never argue. We've been together since 2019. We have got into probably three arguments, and two of them is when we was remodeling the house and we was under stress, and one is because I went psycho over something because I'm a woman and we do that. But we are not married by the state. Both of us have been married before. Garth doesn't believe in government, and you all know how I feel about the government. But we made a commitment to each other. He calls me his wife. We live like husband and wife. You know, he's in charge, and that's how it should be. I think that when women are in charge, there's more chaos in the family, and it's not proper for the children to see. Now, Garth's not, he's not a Christian, but he supports everything that I do. I've done a few radio shows, and he has set up my computer for him. He listens to him. He's listened to Dan on Sundays. And that's okay with me because if I'm reading the Bible and I come out in the living room, I'm like, check this out, and I'll read him something about scripture and it's something that's going on, he will listen to me. And I think one of the reasons we get along so good is because we live like you're supposed to. You know, with me, Yahweh is always the head, and then the husband, and then me. And I think that is one of the reasons our relationship is so good, because I let him be a man, and he treats me like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is it? Well, it's actually two questions. What is it that he doesn't want to refer to himself as a Christian? And you say he listens to the show. What is it that he likes, and what is it that he does not like?
I'm not really sure what he likes. I think he likes the bluntness. I think, you know, we was listening to Don Spears, and he made a couple remarks about comparing him to some things that you said. Don Spears is milk. I like Don Spears, but I get on the fellowship, you know, listen to that. And actually, I have really forgot about him, but my friend in Canada wanted me to get on there. He actually likes Pastor John Weaver, but I think that's because he does a lot of biblical history. He talks a lot about the truth about Abraham Lincoln and the South. We was listening to Ted Weiland for a while, and he liked him at first because Ted Weiland doesn't believe in the Constitution, but one night we was listening to him, and he was using the something in the Constitution to back up something about God. I can't remember what it was. And he said, and he was like, well, how can he be against the, you can't pick and choose what, because Garth doesn't believe in the Constitution. He used to, he likes Larkin Rose. And I like a lot of Larkin Rose. You know, I think he's Jewish, but Garth bought me a book. It's a very good book. But I think a lot of his is what a lot of our people were when he was young. His parents sent him to church, and it didn't sit well with him. And I think I'm going to say he's kind of a fence sitter, you know, on Christianity. I think he does believe in God, but he doesn't know how to accept it. I don't even know if that sounds right.
Sure.
Dan, he likes, because you're blunt, you don't, and you explain things. You're not like, you know, I was raised Catholic, and if anybody's ever been to a Catholic church, then they understand. They don't explain nothing. They just pick some little scriptures and knee and bow and stand and knee and bow. But, you know, we've not really went in depth on why he won't call himself a Christian. He says he's agnostic. But I have to tell you, my middle daughter, she says she's agnostic. And I've been there with all my grandchildren and all my great-grandchildren but one. And every time she has a grandbaby, she says, it's a blessing from God. And me and my grandson don't say anything. We just give each other this look. And you know, he was an anarchist. He's very against the state, the Constitution, against usury. He's actually a sovereign citizen. No, that's not right. Sovereign person. You can't be a sovereign citizen because if they arrest you, they can keep you in jail. But he's against taxes. So he does pretty much live kind of a biblical life. He eats pork, though. Oh, God, I can't stand that. But he is such a good person. He's very giving. We was in Ohio a couple years ago, and we stayed at a hotel down from my dad. And there was a woman there, and he was outside smoking, talking to her, and she said she stays there once a week. She lived in her car, and he paid for her to stay another week. You know, he helps my children out. My grandchildren adore him. In fact, they tease me and say he's a better cook than me, and that means a lot. My grandchildren love him because my grandchildren are, I mean, I have one, the 14-year-old here with me right now. My grandchildren are my world. And he's just such a good guy. And I'll tell you, I really feel blessed. And I've told him that I think God sent him to me to help to take care of me. Because, you know, when I met him, I worked in the factory. And we decided to make a commitment and move in with each other. And one day I came home and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was getting where I'd have to sit there for 30 minutes before I even could take my boots off. And he's like, quit your job. And I'm like, what? And he's like, quit your job. He's like, I'll take care of you. And I didn't, it was weird. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. And he's like, yeah, you And I did, you know, I waited it out about a week, and I said, I'm going to do it. And I did, I'm going to tell you, I drove for Amazon, that I did Amazon Flex for about a year, because I sat home and for a couple weeks, and it just felt weird to me to, because he was like, you know, he gave me his bank card, and but now it's like, okay, I, and I don't know. I just feel really blessed to have him because he's such a good man. And I hope that, and I do pray that he does accept the Father. But, you know, we just live like a man and a woman is supposed to. I let him be in charge, like I said. And he doesn't really boss me around except for he took my shovel, but, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just I just feel blessed, and I do feel that everything that I've been through in life, that God did give him to me as a blessing because I've turned my life around, and I was my husband wasn't a very nice person, let me say that. And I actually have been married more than once. My youngest daughter, her dad was a Vietnam vet, and he passed in 2006. And I was married to an identity preacher. And anyways, Garth's just a really good guy. He really is, and I'm blessed to have him. And he doesn't make fun of anything, except, you know, when it comes to my biblical beliefs, and I have his support 100%, and that is a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. We got somebody else that's joined us here. We got John. And, John, do you want to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, everybody. I'm a friend of Dan's. Just here visiting. I've known Dan for a long, long time. So he said he had the show to do tonight. I told him I'd love to listen in. So I'm just enjoy hearing from all of you. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Excellent. Welcome, John.
Hi.
Did you help Dan with his water pipes?
I did. Crawled under the trailer, fixed that. A few other little chores today. It's good to stay busy.
Yeah, it was fun because, like John said, I've known John for quite some time, and he's a veteran like myself. And it was teamwork. It was fun. He did the grunt work. He did the more dangerous part where it's crawling in a very small space to get in there and work on the piping. But I was halfway underneath the house and talking to him to make sure things were safe. And you should always have a spotter. If you're in a confined space, you should have a spotter. So that was my job, mm-hmm. and to get tools and different things like that. So it was fun to double team the job, two qualified guys working on it, and it was frustrating at times, but we put our heads together and we got it fixed, and now the house has got running water again, so praise the Father for that.
How long are you staying for, John?
I'm going to go back to Utah tomorrow. Well, I'm headed up to Orlando. I actually fly out Saturday, but tomorrow I'll be leaving here.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a job out in California starting in about a week and a half. So I'm just basically going back to Utah to pack up my stuff, and then I'll drive out to the plant out in California.
You're a busy boy, huh?
I've been all over the place for the last few months, I'm telling you.
I think I talked to you on the phone a long time ago, or quite a while back.
Is that, I came in a little late in your conversation, so I didn't catch your name.
They call me Ella, but I have the name Arlene also. I've been Dan's friend for about 6 years.
Right. Well, it's good to talk to you again, then.
She's out in Texas, John. Do you remember talking to Arlene in Texas?
Possibly, yes. I think so.
Yeah, you sent me that picture of you and your mother. Your mother looked as young as you might be your wife.
That's right. She's still struggling along. I'm still trying to get her off as many medications as she can wean herself off of.
Aha. That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
All the other things have straightened out?
She's been through a lot. I mean, she had a hip replacement last year, and then she had a spinal fusion just a couple of months ago. And yeah, I know. So she's going through a lot of different recoveries, but she's doing good with her therapy and everything. I mean, she gets around okay. You know, she's pretty sore, but she'll get there. You know, it just takes a little more time at her age.
Oh, at our age, it's just
yeah.
Going through stuff like that either it kills you or it cures you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's pretty tough. I think she's going to be okay.
So are you, John. You're a pretty tough guy, too, from what I hear and what I know about you.
I'm doing okay. I fell off my daughter's roof last May, and it kind of set me back a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad, but I really made my back angry for a couple of months. That's doing a lot better now, but I sprained my ankle pretty bad, and that's just taking forever to get anywhere close to 100%. It's not bad. It's just not exactly right yet. But we'll get there.
The worst thing that I think I've had in my life is an ingrown toenail. That's been miserable.
Yeah. Well, you are blessed. I think I dealt with those when I was a kid, like right away. So it's been, I haven't been as lucky as you.
I never expected it to happen. And one day you wake up and you can't put your shoe on because your toe hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Then you can't go to doctors now because you don't want to be able to get the jab. If you walk in the doctor's office, you never know what they're going to be giving you. So
I had to
take all my knowledge and bring it all together and find out what I do. And so far, I've been looking at it. I think it's getting underway to healing now.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I wouldn't take a shot no matter what they told me it was. There's just no way.
Smart
I don't trust them. Actually, I just don't go to the doctors. I mean, just going to the urgent care when I fell off the roof was the first time I've seen any medical people in I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you travel quite a bit, John. You got a lot of friends from the Navy and from the power business that we were in. But give us in a nutshell your assessment of the country and where we're at. What do you think about things? Are we going up? Are we going down? What's your assessment?
I feel like we're headed down rapidly. I think there still are plenty of people who are willing to make a stand. It's just a matter of who's going to emerge as the leader. I think that's what people are really lacking right now. There's so many people. They're ready to do something. They're tired enough, but people need a leader.
Well, the problem is they think that going to the voting booth is going to solve all their problems, but they're only going to make them worse.
Yeah.
It's like the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and
yeah,
it stays the same or worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who can vote for Trump or who can vote for Biden?
I'm afraid to see what's going to happen this year. It's going to be a replay, but
I'm
even more
extreme.
I'm excited
to see what mess they're going to get into.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be quite a show. That's all I can say.
From what I hear, Obama is running the show from behind the scenes. I don't know how much of that is true.
Well, I think Obama is involved, but honestly, I think other people are pulling his strings. He's not the mastermind of this whole global conspiracy. I don't think he's that smart.
He's not smart enough.
Yeah, he was put there to pull the strings that they tell him to pull.
Now look at his wife, Big Mike.
Hey, Mike. Big Mike. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind.
That's not a smart man.
Yeah. Does anybody think they're going to plug Michelle Obama in the campaign later this year when they finally push Biden out?
I read something today where she says, "I am not running."
Yeah.
Because most of the people know what she is or he is.
Well, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Anybody who was stupid enough to vote for it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing I think about Trump, because he's not a guy either.
No. People want him to be.
Trump makes me think that it's because they want to build up an army for him. And white people think they have it bad now. If Trump gets voted in, we are in a world of trouble, because he does not like white people.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think the white race is in trouble regardless. So.
Well, that's true.
We are the ones with the target on our back, and we need to wake up to that fact ASAP.
Well, what I tell people is, think about, why do they hate whites so much? Just think about that.
We're the hardest to control.
Because they know who white people are.
Exactly, because they know that we are God's children.
Yes. Yeah.
And like you look Esau, around, like Esau, they're jealous of it. I yield.
Yep.
Well, they're afraid that if the white people are ruling again, that Yahweh will come in and be the boss again, and they don't want that. They'd rather have the Constitution that could be changed any way they want.
Or ignored.
Or ignored, which is what they've been doing.
It doesn't mean anything anymore.
That really doesn't. Well,
John and I
have
were talking.
A country full of activist judges.
Exactly. John and I were talking earlier today, and I told him my opinion is it's going to return. It's going to boil down to bullets and bayonets. I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, but unfortunately, that's the historical truth. When you reach the point where the communists have taken over to this level, you have to remember, the communists do not compromise, and the communists will not coexist with any other system. And so how do you defeat communism? You don't do it at the voting booth, because they have no scruples, obviously. They will steal elections, they will murder, they will blackmail, just like Jeffrey Epstein and the rest of his tribe. They are extortionists, blackmailers, and murderers. If all else fails, they will simply send somebody out to murder you. So how in the world do you win in a, quote, election system or any kind of a system that deals with voting or whatever with people who are basically organized crime? They're criminals. Bayonets mm-hmm. and bullets. I'm sorry, but it's going to take a strong military leader who is both, like a King David, he's going to have to be both a civic leader and a military commander, who's basically the monarch giving the marching orders, and the lions, who are white guys with guns, they're the ones that matter, are going to have to get in formation and march off to take this enemy down, which the prophet Obadiah and Ezekiel, and in a way Malachi, all say is what's going to happen. If you read their prophecies, at some point the sons of God, which is what our people are going to rise up and become a flame and a fire, and they're going to go after these people. So what's a flame and a fire? That means in mass they're going to say, I've had enough. Righteous indignation is going to burn in their bosom. And we're not going to stop till every enemy of Yahweh is dead in the ground. Period.
That's what we need. People need to get mad.
Righteous indignation. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Particularly with all these black guys coming over the border and everything, they're going to be trying to mix with our women. And that's going to be getting rid of a lot of them. And then there's going to be hell to pay, really. I mean, what are the white men going to think when these black guys start coming after their women? They start popping out black and white babies. This is going to be disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a multi-pronged attack. That's one way they're trying to wipe us out. There's just so many different ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere you look, every commercial, every poster, you know, every movie. Yeah. It's nothing but race mixing. It's nauseating.
Yes, I think it's disgusting.
Let me ask you, John, in your family and in circle of friends and whatnot, do any of them seem like they're starting to wake up and get it?
Not so much in my family. No matter how hard I try, I think they think I'm just off the deep end.
Wow.
Friends, I have a lot of like-minded friends. Probably not as far along as you and I, but they're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people that really don't even know what's going on. When my son-in-law came over yesterday, and I started talking to him about the election and people, he has no clue that there's anything wrong anywhere.
Really?
And I couldn't say anything. I would say would he would immediately say, "Well, the election's fine. We're going to get someone in there that's going to change things." Or all these black people coming over there, they'll supply labor that the others want for picking their crops and everything, and it's all a good stuff. And
yeah. It
doesn't go with my personality at all.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty ignorant of reality. That's a shame.
You just talking points from the left.
Now I have to walk around with a piece of duct tape in my hand so I can throw it across my mouth when I contact people.
Really?
Not just the left.
Yeah.
Just the left. They're both wings of the same bird, the left and the right. There's no difference.
Well, I told Dan, I said, there really are two parties in the country, but it's them and us.
That's right.
All of them, all of them are on the same page. They just pretend to be divided so they can keep us divided.
Right. Well, exactly what Scripture says. You know, there's the sons of the father and the children of the father and everybody else. There's only two groups of people. That's why Yeshua said you're either on my side of the fence or on the other side of the fence. So we don't need to get into this, well, why are the other races here and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. There's only two people the Scripture deals with. His sons and daughters on one side, and everybody else is on the other side. They're called goats.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? So, if you're not on my side of the fence with Yeshua, and who is Yahweh in a flesh body, if you're not on this side of the fence, then you're on the other side. And David said what? I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred. And King David was said what? Yahweh said he was a man after his own heart. Okay, so of all the men that have walked the earth, he said that of David. And the other beloved was John, the Apostle John. So those two men are stellar examples of what he expects of our men. And he said, mm-hmm. I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred. So the church world says, well, he's all love, and we should be all love, but that's just total BS. And that's why people are leaving the church world. And that's why Garth's saying that he doesn't want to be called a Christian. I don't blame him. If you associate being a Christian with this mainstream lot out here, I wouldn't want to be associated with them either.
In the book of Acts, they're called the Way. They're not called Christians. They were only called Christians at Antioch as a derogatory term.
Right.
All through the book of Acts, it says followers of the Way. The Way is all through the book of Acts, if you read it. That's what we should be called, the Way, followers of the Way. Because Yeshua said he's the Way, the truth, and the life.
I think it's all in the Old Testament somewhere, the Way. That doesn't feel right, but I'm pretty sure it's in the Old Testament also.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about it, the scripture from one end to the other is talking about a way of life, okay? And a way to live your life with living waters, because that's what he is. So our faith is a relationship. It's not attendance at a church. It's not ritualized. It's not ceremony or any of the other dogma and BS of quote, the mainstream religions. This is a relationship. I've told people that if you don't have a relationship with the Father, if you're not in prayer, you don't have faith, and you're not listening to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, well, then you got to question whether you have that relationship. Because if you do have that relationship, then you have the greatest source of power and knowledge that we're aware of on your side. And if we as a people draw on that, then that lifts us up above everything that's going on. So part of the process that's happening right now is our Father is turning up the heat. Remember, he turns up the works of the adversary when his children are disobedient. So everything that's going on is because of us. I know we look at what the Jews are doing and all the blacks and Iraq, but really, what is the root of the problem? The root of the problem is that we have abandoned our mission on this earth. We have abandoned our faith in a Father, and that we believe his law is the supreme law of the land. We turned our backs on that. And this is the punishment for it.
Well, that's what Lewis Beam says, that it's our fault.
Right. The enemy couldn't do anything to us if we were obedient children. Don, you were going to say something.
No, I disagree. We've turned away as a nation. We've turned away from God, and this is exactly what happens to us.
Right.
Well, Jeremiah 2:13 tells us the two things that we do wrong. We turn away from Yahweh, and we make for ourselves broken cisterns. Does anybody understand what broken cisterns are? Broken cisterns are mixed race people, because the Holy Spirit is called water. And a cistern is a holder of water. And if you have relations with a black person and you're a white person and you produce a child, that child is a broken cistern. It cannot hold water. The Holy Spirit cannot enter and stay in that person.
Hmm.
And, you know, in Deuteronomy 2:23, I think, or 23:2, I think, says they're called bastards, and they are not allowed to enter the congregation for 10 generations. And, you know, people don't think anything about race mixing. Oh, that's okay. You know, anybody can do that. But what they're doing is producing people that are not intended to exist.
That's why they're called abominations. And it also says they're not allowed into the congregation even to the tenth. So they're never allowed into the congregation, but even to the tenth generation, which means the adulteration has been diluted quite a bit, and that's still not good enough. I pointed out in America, in colonial America, churches had a balcony. And some of the churches I attended in the countryside of Pennsylvania, many of those old churches had balconies. And a lot of people don't know what the balcony was for. And I read a very good paper. I can't remember what pastor put it out, but a very good paper that talked about the doors to the main sanctuary were only for his children. That was for us, the European Israelites. We entered in through the main doors into the sanctuary. The non-whites who wanted to hear the word of God and the truth of the Bible, they were allowed to come in and hear it, but they could not sit with the congregation. So where did they go? They went the stairway on the outside of the church up to the balcony and entered into the small door up there, and they sat in the balcony. So they were entitled to learn the truth, but they were not allowed to mingle with and sit with the sons and daughters of the Most High, because that's when mingling starts. Well, if it's okay to sit with them, then I can be a friend. And if I can be a friend, I can go over and have dinner. And if I can go over and have dinner, then why can't we date? And if I can date, why can't we marry? That is the camel's nose into the tent when you allow them to sit with the congregation. You can't do that. In the old churches, that's why there was a second story up above, and that was called the balcony. And that's for the non-Israelites to hear the truth of Yahweh's word, because his truth applies to everybody. So if they wanted to hear the truth about medicine and about the medical mafia and government of men being the beast and the evils of it, well, yeah, they're entitled to hear that. But that does not give them the same rights as his children. It does not give them the rights to, quote, mingle with his sons and daughters. So the old timers knew this. That's why they built the churches the way they did. So even when I was a boy, the old timers knew that you weren't supposed to mix. So it's within my lifetime that because of the narrative of the media that we've forgotten that, and now we're embracing the mixing like no tomorrow. So we got to be close to the end. That's why he said, if I didn't put an end to this when I do, none of my flesh of my children would survive. I yield.
Sometimes I think
we're even doing that with other people in our churches. We're sitting there with people next to us that may or may not be believers, and we're not even supposed to do that. In Hebrews, it tells us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But that what that means is don't forsake assembling together. Just as we're doing here, we don't need to go to a building, but the believers themselves need to get together to talk to each other, to tell each other what they're learning, and then for the elders to bring out the mistakes that they're making so they can learn from the mistakes. If you have unbelievers sitting in amongst you, it's the same like with black people sitting amongst you. Then you're going to get involved with them, you're going to date them, you're going to marry them. So that's one of the rules that we have, too. We're not supposed to be worshiping and fellowshipping with non-believers. I'll yield.
Yeah, Melissa, I think you were saying something.
No, it was me. I was going to say that Thomas Chittum's book is coming true.
Yes, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. Yes.
Yeah, all the little, you know, the little pockets of people in different areas, the blacks, you know, it's all, you know, I have it downloaded somewhere. I'm going to have to start listening to it again.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote. I did a couple interviews with him, but he's. Last I heard, he's up in Canada and not doing very well. I think he was legally blind, and he might have even been going deaf. He was not, because I asked him if he'd like to do another interview with an update, since so much has happened since he wrote the book. But he said he was in no physical condition to do an interview. So,
what is the name of the book?
Civil War II. The Coming Breakup of America. I have a digital copy of it and a hard copy of it. He gave me an autographed copy. But what he predicts about the breakup of America was based on his time in the United States Army, because he was in three different campaigns as a part of the Army where he was sent into countries that were in the process of falling apart. So he's three times... He was actually in countries that disintegrated because of doing the same things we're doing. So he saw that, and he also saw that what it took to survive. And he's one of the guys that told me that if you want to survive, you've got to have 3 months worth of food, water, medicine, survival, whatever, equipment, and all that to stay hunkered down for 3 months. He goes, that's a minimum. He goes, if you can do that, you probably can survive the upheaval that's coming. He said, if you can do that for 6 months, I can pretty much guarantee that you're going to come through it. He goes, based on what I saw in three different areas of the world that were in the midst of a total breakdown of society. So that was why for years I've been telling people, minimum 3 months, try to shoot for 6 months. Of being able to stay hunkered down, because in that 3 to 6 month period, most of these zombies out here are going to end up dead, either from disease, starvation, thirst, violence, you name it. Because when society breaks down, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have gangs killing each other, killing innocent people, busting in. So if you're part of a group of people that can stay hunkered down and defend yourself, and you've got the supplies where you don't need to go out amongst the zombies, you can survive it. according to Thomas, anyway. So it's a good book. It's not very big. It's a small book. Highly recommend people read it because many of his predictions have come true. So
it used to be on some channel, you know, recorded, and I think you could still find it, you know, the reading recorded somewhere.
Sure. Audiobook, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I make my own. Sorry. I can't raise my hand. I'm on my phone, and it doesn't show to raise your hand or anything. But anyways, I made my own pain medicine with prickly lettuce. It's from the dandelion family. It takes a long time to cook it down, but it actually works because I was lifting heavy stuff, and I hurt my back. I really hurt it really bad. I keep forgetting I'm 62, but anyway. And I do. And I had...
Get in line.
That's hard, isn't it? But I was in Kansas. They grow wild all over Kansas, and I had looked it up. And what started is I had got a splinter in the palm of my hand, and some clippers and clipped it out, but left it open. So I took the white stuff out of the stem and the leaves, and I put it on there, and in 3 days it healed. Now, when you get older, it takes longer to heal, so I was really impressed, and I was telling Garth, so he looked it up, and he found how to make the painkiller, and it's actually, once you're done with it, it's really dry. I put it on a parchment paper, and I rolled it up. Well, I'd hurt my back, and I put some in my tea, and voila, it did the trick. So you can even, I mean, there's stuff... What does he say? I've given you every seed, and you can make pain medicine. I chew thymes. If I'm stuffy, it helps. It's all out there. I call it my pharmacy with the FARM, and it's all out there for us. We just have to learn how to do it, and that's what we need to do and know is how, just like a pine tree. Everything is edible on the pine tree, and the needles, you can make tea. I mean, it's just so wonderful when you start learning these things, and it's so helpful, and I love it. I really do, because I don't go to the doctor. Garth don't go to the doctor. I haven't been to the doctor in over 10 years. He hasn't been in over 30. We take no medicine, and we're in pretty, he just turned 70. We're in pretty good health for our age, especially when you're out in public and you see these people half your age, and they don't look healthy, you know, half of them look zoned out. I think they're all on some kind of medication. I don't want to be on medication. I don't want to take Oxycontin because I have a pain in my back. I want to go out to my garden and eat something or cook something out of it.
Right. And for minor pain, by the way, white willow bark acts a lot like aspirin. So
I took some tonight already.
Did you?
Well, I was actually trying to find some aspirin in the store made from willow bark. And I looked online, and so far I haven't.
Swanson sells it.
Who does?
Swanson.
Oh, they do?
Well, it's the Solar Ray. I bought it from them, but it's the Solar Ray company.
I'll have to look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find it a lot of it in places like Vitacost here in Florida. eBay, believe it or not, there's a lot of people on eBay, entrepreneurs, just families that put a lot of stuff together like chlorine dioxide. I found a very good source for that, organic castor oil. Believe it or not. So I like to support them, especially if they're like in this state or in a neighboring state, support the local economy. So I really enjoy that. So far, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to take a chance with eBay. Well, I have to admit there's a couple times I bought things and I was not happy with what happened, but I've bought a lot of stuff on eBay And only a couple times was I ever disappointed. And if really I had been paying attention, I should have realized there were signs that probably told me I was going to be disappointed. But the vast majority have been very good, honest people. They communicate well. I ordered a clock from this one guy, and one of the elements didn't work. He sent half my money back. And believe it or not, a week later, all of a sudden, that element started working. And I'm an electronics tech. You know, to me, electronics was either it works or it's gone. There is no in between. So for this thing to sit there and then weeks later, all of a sudden start working again, it was almost like, wait a minute, what happened here? But the guy had no problem. He said, hey, I'll send half the money back to you and say, sorry, I didn't realize it. Because it kept good time. It's just that one of the elements didn't work. So anyway, you can find things in a lot of different sources. So as long as we don't go to the medical mafia. I'm at war, and I admit that to everybody. I'm at war with the medical mafia. I've watched them hurt way too many people I care about. And so I have no sympathy for them, even though I've got a daughter that's a nurse. I've got friends that are nurses and doctors. And I tell them outright, I'm sorry, I'd put you all out of work if it was up to me. I'm at war with them, and I will not stop until they either repent and become naturopathic or disappear, because the allopathic way is the way of the enemy and not our way. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we're after 9. Is there anybody got something else they'd like to bring to the table?
Not really. I did buy from eBay. I bought shungite rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Put under, and the first group came, and it was from Coralia, Russia or something. And then the second one didn't. I never got it. You know, I wanted more, but it never came. So I quit ordering from eBay. But there's
What I have found out, that especially since we are in a dystopic world, remember, this is the movie Idiocracy, it was not the eBay seller that was at fault. It was the Postal Service. They delivered the product to the wrong address.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens more often than you think, and unfortunately, when I was a boy, people would have contacted you and said, hey, this was given to me by mistake. Not so much anymore. They just keep it.
I kept calling the post office. No, nothing came. Nothing came. I'm like,
right. Oh. Well, I'm just saying it. It's just one source. There's lots of different sources. But
yeah. Well, and anyway. Then there's a place up here in Cimarron, New Mexico called Ores are minerals or something. Ores and minerals, something like that. And they had a whole bunch of it. So I went there and got it. But that was like maybe 2 years ago instead of, you know, when I got originally got it. But that's fine. And then I got Organite, you know, those discs for tower busting. Because they did you see the video on Blue Skies conference? All the videos? Oh, they had a guy doing tower busting, you know, to move the chemtrails. Well, you know, it was really good. The lady that put it on, her name was Hannah. She lives in Europe somewhere, and Amanda was in it.
Amanda Ballmer.
There's 2 full days of solutions on that website. I could email, I could text it, send it to you on Telegram, because Hannah's got it up on her Telegram channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. It's got all kinds of good solutions.
All right. Well, in the council of many, there's victory, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Working together, like I said, we are the ark for this time period. We, his sons and daughters, communicating and helping each other and sharing information. That's the ark. at the moment. It may change, yep, but right now that's the arc. So,
well, it was great hearing from all of you. I'm going to have to call in more often.
Yeah, thanks a
nice,
lot, John.
Nice having you here, John.
You
thank
too.
You,
thank you.
Yep, you take all care. Right.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, does anybody else have anything? Okay, I guess not. Who did we? Oh, we lost Jennifer. Okay. Well, I'll close it out with prayer then.
All right. I'll see you later.
Yep. Take care, John.
Bye.
And please come back and join us. It's so great to be able to fellowship with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce says when mother, there's your mother and brothers, and he looked around and he said, these are my my brothers.
Absolutely.
And that's why I said, with you people, that I'm with my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen to that. All right. I'll go ahead and close this out here. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share as a family. We also thank you that you're revealing many things to us, not only about what's going wrong in this world, and there's plenty of that, but also the things that are going well, that we're learning to return to the soil, return to the vegetation, the good earth that you put us on, that has the sources that we need for lumber, for health, for medicine to take, for pain, for moods, everything that we need is out there, and it does not require processing. It does not require chemicals. It doesn't require refining or anything that's controlled by the enemy. And so as we learn to rely on each other and ourselves and lean on you, that we can overcome almost anything. And so we just ask it again, as we struggle to get back on the right track, that you would walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And we'll ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.